Why, how now, monsieur? What a life is this, that your poor friends must woo your company? What? You look merrily.
A fool in the forest. A motley fool. A miserable world. As I do live by food, I met a fool who laid him down and basked him in the sun. Good morrow, fool, quoth I. No, sir, quoth he. Call me not fool till heaven hath sent me fortune. And then he drew a dial from his poke, and looking on it with lacklustre eye, says very wisely, it is 10 o'clock. Thus we may see, quoth he, how the world wags. 'Tis but an hour ago since it was 9, and after 1 hour more 'twill be 11. And so, from hour to hour, we ripe and ripe, and from hour to hour, we rot and rot. Thereby hangs a tale. When I did hear the motley fool thus moral on the time, my lungs began to crow like Chanticleer. That fools should be so deep contemplative. And I did laugh, sun's intermission, an hour by his dial. Oh, noble fool.
What fool is this?
Oh, worthy fool. One that hath been a courtier, and says, if ladies be but young and fair, they have the gift to know it. And in his brain, which is as dry as the remainder biscuit after a voyage, he hath strange places crammed with observation, the which he vents in mangled forms. Oh, that I were a fool. I am ambitious for a motley coat.
Thou shalt have one.
It is my only suit. Provided that you weed your better judgments of all opinion that grows rank in them, that I am wise. I must have liberty withal, as large a charter as the winter, to blow on whom I please. For so fools have. Invest me in my motley. Give me leave to speak my mind, and I will through and through cleanse the foul body of the infected world if they will patiently receive my medicine.
Oh, fie on thee! I can tell what thou would do.
What, for a counter, would I do but good?
Most mischievous foul sin, enchiding sin, for thou thyself hast been a libertine, as sensual as the brutish sting itself. And all the embossed sores and headed evils that thou, with license of free foot, hast caught, wouldst thou disgorge into the general world?
Why, who cries out on pride that can therein tax any private party? Doth it not flow as hugely as the sea, till that the weary very means do ebb? What woman in the city do I name when I say that the city woman bears the cost of princes on unworthy shoulders? Who can come in and say that I mean her when such a one as she, such is her neighbour?
Forbear, and eat no more.
Why, I have eaten none yet.
Nor shalt not, till necessity be served.
Of what kind should this cock come of?
Art thou thus bolden, man, by thy distress? Or else a rude despiser of good manners, that in civility thou seem'st so empty.
You touched my vein at first. The thorny point of bare distress hath taken from me the show of smooth civility. Yet I am inland bred, and know some nurture. But forbear, I say. He dies that touches any of this fruit, till I and my affairs are answered.
And you will not be answered with reason. I must die.
What would you have? Your gentleness shall force more than your force move us to gentleness.
I almost die for food, and let me have it.
Sit down and feed, and welcome to our table.
speak you so gently. Pardon me, I pray you. I thought that all things had been savage here, and therefore put I on the countenance of stern commandment. But whate'er you are, that in this desert, inaccessible, under the shade of melancholy boughs, lose and neglect the creeping hours of time. If ever you have looked on better days, if ever you have been where bells have knolled to church, if ever sat at any good man's feasts, if ever from your eyelids wiped a tear, and know what it is to pity and to be pitied, let gentleness my strong enforcement be, in the which hope I blush and hide my sword.
True it is that we have seen better days, and have with holy bell been knolled to church, and sat at good man's feasts, and wiped our eyes of drops that sacred pity hath engendered. And therefore, sit you down with gentleness, and take upon command what help we have, that to your wanting can be ministered.
Then forbear your food a little while, whilst like a doe I go to find my fawn and give it food. There is an old, poor man, who after me hath many a weary step limped in pure love. Till he be first sufficed, oppressed with two weak evils, both age and hunger, I will not touch a bit.
Go find him out, and we will nothing waste till you return.
I thank ye, and be blessed for your good comfort.
Thou seest, we are not all alone unhappy. This wide and universal theatre presents more woeful pageants than the scene wherein we play in.
All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. His acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, mewling and puking in the nurse's arms. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel and shining morning face, creeping like snail unwillingly to school. And then the lover, sighing like furnace, with a woeful ballad made to his mistress' eyebrow. Then a soldier, full of strange oaths and bearded like the pard, jealous in honour, sudden and quick in quarrel, seeking the bubble reputation even in the cannon's mouth. Boom! And then the justice, in fair round belly with good capon lined, with eyes severe and beard of formal cut, full of wise saws and modern instances. And so he plays his part. The sixth age shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, with spectacles on nose and pouch on side, his youthful hose well saved, a world too wide for his shrunk shank, and his big manly voice turning again towards childish treble, pipes and whistles in his sound. Last scene of all that ends this strange, eventful history is second childishness and mere oblivion. Sans teeth, sans eyes, sans taste, sans